Speaking of rebellious children, Striper.
Casting before and probably after the rapture. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
Well, for almost 30 years, Christian rock pioneer Michael Sweet has broken down walls and seen unprecedented success bringing his music to the masses. Oh, I didn't know he was Catholic. Best known as the singer, guitarist, and songwriter for Striper. His role in that groundbreaking band only scratches the surface of this multi-talented artist. I think his mom wrote this. Michael, in addition to his very visible role in Striper, is also a Nashville songwriter, producer, acclaimed solo artist, and in 2008 was even a member of the legendary rock band Boston. That's how you have to say it. Striper, under the leadership of Michael Sweet, has sold over 8 million records worldwide, received a Grammy nomination, charted countless times on the Billboard charts, and won a Dove Award. The future remains very bright for a man who has endured heartbreaking tribulations throughout his life and career, including the 2009 passing of his wife of more than 22 years. And by the way, No More Hell to Pay is Striper's 8th original studio album and is on sale now. MichaelSweet.com or Striper.com with a Y. If you don't know how to spell it, you don't deserve to listen to their music. Michael Sweet on the Drew Marshall Show again. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. I was just enjoying that that female-fronted band I was listening to. Who was that?
Seriously, dude, that range is ridiculous. Like, do you buy extra small underwear?
Yeah, I don't buy extra small. I wear small.
Okay. You're hilarious. Dude, you're 50 years old.
I'm 50 years old, and, you know, I may look it, but I don't feel it at all. I feel like I'm 49. It's pretty amazing.
Is it weirder for rockers to turn, you know, 50 and 60 and stuff? Is that just weirder?
It is a little weirder. I mean, because, you know, I don't want to be one of those guys on stage at 70 years old trying to look like I'm 50, you know, right. And I guess there comes a time when you're, well, you know, you're never too old to rock. I think most of it is in your mind and your heart. Some of it's in your body. But, you know, you can keep rocking till the day you take your last breath. And I hope to be one of those guys. We'll see what happens.
So what I'm hearing you say is there's a chance you might join the Gaithers?
Never. Never. I wouldn't have joined the Gaithers when I was 19.
Oh, man. I can never understand that. Like, you know, I know there's a big audience for them out there. I get that. But here's the deal. The audience that they have are subjected to a five-hour concert. That demographic can't sit still that long without having to go to the bathroom 9 times.
And if you were to have them open for Springsteen, it'd be a 10-hour concert. Okay. And yeah, that would be painful. It really would be.
You know, Michael Sweet, I think it's time to write a book. Honestly.
Yeah, you know, I've thought about it, and maybe one of these days I'll actually get around to it. And the good thing is I did get around to it. It took me 2 years to complete it. It's finally, believe it or not, all kidding aside, it's finally complete. We're looking at announcing a release date within days.
Really?
For the album and the book. So really exciting, man, really exciting.
You know, no one under 50 should write a biography.
Well, you know, the book is called Honestly, and it is the story of my life, and it's just got a lot of good and bad, a lot of ups and downs, trials and tribulations, everything I've gone through in my life. And, you know, I'm really hoping and praying that when somebody reads it, they actually are inspired by it and they get something out of it. Maybe they're going through the same things that I've gone through.
Yeah.
And maybe I can kind of help them through whatever it is they're going through. That's my goal. That would be amazing.
Can you help me understand something? I went recently, a little while ago, to a Joe Satriani concert, and then I went a couple months later to a Joe Satriani concert. Can you help me understand why I liked Joe Satriani so much more than Steve Vai?
Yeah, I can, because you know what? I am actually...
Oh, sorry, the other way around. Sorry, I got that totally backwards. Steve Vais, who I liked a lot more than Joe Satriani. No, because I was whammy barred to death by Satriani.
Then you just blew what I was going to say
of
the water.
Okay, sorry.
I'm more of a Satriani fan, and the reason why Satriani, however you pronounce it, reason why I'm more of a Satriani fan is because he's got a nicer, in my opinion, a nicer tone, nicer vibrato, and a little bit more of a bluesy, soulful player. Vai, on the other hand, is more of a technical player.
Right.
And, you know, I'd lean more towards the guys that bend the notes a little slower and vibrato them a little longer and wider. That's more my taste and my style.
So we're going to throw both of them into the garbage and talk about Eric Johnson?
Oh, Eric Johnson is phenomenal. He's a combination of both.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a combination. You take technical and mix it with soul, and there's Eric Johnson. And he's all about tone, too, which is amazing.
Hey, in your 95 break-in, what do you miss the most?
I miss it all, man. But I don't cling to it still. I'd forgotten about it until you just reminded me.
Oh, jeez.
And, you know, it's all the way I looked at it after a month of walking around like a zombie and I got past the heartbreak of losing everything, I realized it's all wood and it's just all going to be burning or floating in the water later on after I'm dead and gone and I can't take it with me, right?
I just had a friend, Joel Ogier, who his house was broken into. He's a player. He's got a fantastic voice, good player. But his house was just broken into, and they stole, like, a guitar that they make. And they make two every year. I can't remember the name of it. Stole all the stuff. And I said to him, I said, Joel, this is what you get when you store up treasures on Earth.
Well, it's true.
Wasn't that sensitive of me?
It's true, and we all do it. And, you know, I did it. I had a warehouse full of guitars. I think I had 27 guitars stolen.
Come on.
I had 27 guitars stolen, and I
you know, I think I know who took them. It's Randy Bachman. He's got the most extensive guitar humidified, you know, island of guitars on the west coast off of British Columbia. Did you know that? Did you know he has the world's greatest collection of guitars?
I did not know that, but you know who runs a close second is a gentleman by the name of Dave Amato.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
Dave's the guitar player for REO, and Dave was actually my wife who passed her fiancé before I married her. And he and I become dear friends, and he's got a collection of over, I want to say, 150 guitars, and all vintage, rare guitars. Really amazing.
Man. What's Christmas like with Michael Sweet? And Striper Mom?
Oh, gosh. Striper Mom, I have no idea. She's out in Vegas, and they do their own thing. Michael Sweet, it's really quiet and uneventful and not a lot going on. And usually four or five or six of us sitting at a dinner table having dinner and opening presents. And this year's not about lots of presents. It's more about just the spirit of Christmas, and we're going out of our way to not go into debt and to make it about Christ and not about the present.
Going into debt for Jesus.
Yeah, I don't get it, and we do it every year, and you know we spend, you know, whatever it is, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000, however much it is, and then we figure out how we're going to pay it off for the next 6 months. And I don't understand that mentality, and I think everyone does that.
Okay, what do these have in common? Ready?
Yep.
The Terminator, Wisdom, Teen Wolf, and Ghost.
Well, I know one thing they have in common, the makeup artist.
Yeah.
that was Kyle. And she moved out to L.A. with Dave Amato, basically to support him. He was going out there to become a big rock star, and she wound up, he went on to become a big rock star, of course, because he's an incredibly talented guy, but she went on to become a big makeup artist, very successful makeup artist in L.A., and she worked on all those films.
And then she went on with you.
She did.
You guys were married for, what, 22 years?
Yeah, almost 23 years. And I think about that, and I think, my gosh, where did the time go? And you know, I'm remarried now to my beautiful wife Lisa, and we're going on 4 years. So
okay.
it's just like, yeah. Now listen, I hear that I'm opening right now for John Elefante. Is that true?
Come on.
Isn't John coming on after me?
He already. We had him on before you because you were the bigger deal, right? He was your opener. I told him, and he knew. He knew you were coming on next, and he said, "You know, I know you have to go to someone bigger now."
You know what? Hey, I love John. We go way back. I was watching John in his band Elefante with Dino.
Yeah.
They were playing my junior high Sadie Hawkins dance when I was in seventh grade.
Did you just out him age-wise?
I outed him. He's older than me, definitely.
Man. I want to ask you a potentially awkward question, although I'm sure other people within your circles back in the day asked you this question. So bear with me because it came to my mind and, you know, sometimes that's why I get paid the big bucks to say these kind of things. So here's the deal. So when Kyle passed away, which, by the way, sucks, horrible, kick in the guts, brutal. And I can't stand when people say stuff like, oh, it's okay. She's in a better place now. Okay, I get that. I really do. But, man, that's just crap. So there's my two cents in that. But here's what I want to ask. She passed in March, and then you remarried in January. True?
Yeah, just less than a year.
Okay. Yes. Do you have close friends who freaked out at you because of that, especially the ones that were close to her, felt like this is a betrayal of her memory, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, not many. Actually, her closest friends, her true friends, are my dear friends to this day, and Lisa's dear friends. But a few friends that at least we thought were true friends not only freaked out, but abandoned me, and not only abandoned me, but, you know, went on a mission to, it felt nothing less than to bring me down and bring Lisa down. And you know what? Those people are not in my lives and are not in my life anymore. And I'm still, you know, it's kind of an open wound. I bandage it monthly, and the subject gets brought up because they're still dear friends of mine, so they're in my circle, you know?
Yeah.
And it's hard because, you know, I don't want to get into name-calling and naming people, but it's in my flesh as a human being. It's real easy for people to say, oh, you got to let that go, you got to let that go. Well, it's impossible to let go because it's brought before me on a daily basis. Because, like I said, they're friends with my friends, and it's very difficult. But you know what? We're just trying to rise above. We want to move on. We want to be happy, and I love my wife, Lisa, and nobody's going to change that, and that's my own personal decision. My children love her and accept her, and, you know, that's all that matters to me.
My
family and my wife, that's it.
They say that those that were happily married remarry quicker.
Well, you know, whatever the stats say, here's the thing. You can't go by the stats.
No, there's no rule book on this.
Everybody's story is different.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, who are we to judge someone if they move on a day later? I mean, or 10 years later, some people don't move on ever. And you know what? It's going to be different for everyone, and that's okay.
You're a pretty cool guy.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm a cool guy, but, you know, I'm a guy that really tries to accept people for who they are and not judge other people. And you know, man, that's just not our place. It's really not. And if that makes me cool, then maybe I am pretty cool. I don't know.
No, I think it's the pants. That's it. I can't fit into those things anymore.
I hope you're not referring to those yellow and black spandex.
Dude, okay, cool. Seriously, I wasn't going to bring that stuff up, but since you brought it up, let me finish with this. I've told you this on the show before, but I'm sure you don't remember. First time I saw you guys, I was on staff at Hume Lake Christian Camps down in the mountains in California, and they had a staff retreat at Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like Jesus Day or something.
Right, yep.
So, you know, Steve Taylor was there with his, you know, new wave suit and hair and want to be a clone and whatever else. But I was gravitated to this tunage that was coming from around the bushes over the thing. You guys were killing it. And I couldn't get in, though, so I snuck in. I don't know. I can't remember why I couldn't get in. I can't remember if it was like you had to pay for certain gigs or whatever. But anyway, I snuck in and got busted, and they threw me out of the gig, of your gig. So I went right over, and with my buddy, Ron Casey, we went over and played. You remember the squirt gun games where they go, and you squirt this stream of water at a target, and things would go up like
yes.
Racehorses or whatever, and whoever
yes,
got to the
absolutely.
First thing won. Yeah. So I decided that Ron and I, when the girl says go, we're going to turn the guns on her instead.
Nice.
This is all your fault, by the way, because I couldn't get into your stinking concert. So,
oh, man. Did you get booted?
Dude, she goes, go. He chickens out. I'm the only one squirting her, and I hit her dead square in the eyeball. Like, dead square.
No.
She drops the microphone, falls to the ground. Security comes over. I am flying again. Gone.
Oh, no.
And it's all because I couldn't get into your concert.
This story sounds vaguely familiar, and you know what? I hope you learned from that, man. And you haven't done that since, right?
I'm not saying anything.
Okay.
I'm not saying anything. Listen,
I remember those days. Knott's Berry Farm, that was a staple in a community and such a popular place. And we were only like 10 minutes down the road from it. And we wound up playing Knott's Berry Farm. I forget what they called there. It was a typical and similar to Night of Joy that Disneyland does, or Disney World. And I remember that all too well. And we played there, and that was amazing. What an incredible time. And we had a producer checking us out that night by the name of Michael Wagner, and we wound up working with him on the second album, which was Soldiers Under Command.
So it was a good night all in all. That's what I'm hearing.
It was a great night all in all. Amazing.
No More Hell to Pay is Stryper's 8th original album, studio album, and is on sale now. What's the difference between an album and a studio album?
The difference is a studio album is supposed to be done in the studio.
Thanks,
and,
thanks, Tips.
And an album would be just any standard album that could have been recorded on location or live or, you know, okay. Something like that.
All right. Stryper.com is the website, and MichaelSweet.com is the other website. And you know what? There are people out there that go years without love and go years without ever having a date with a hot chick, and you've married two hotties. What the heck?
I've been blessed twice, man, and you know, most people don't find true love at all in their lifetime, and I've found it twice, and I tell you, my wife Lisa is a godsend and an angel, and I'm very happy, man. Very happy.
Yeah. Michael, thanks, man. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, buddy, and God bless you. Thank you for having me on, and I wish you guys a nice snowy Christmas.
Oh, really?
I'm getting right now.
Really? Really? You know there's like 10 feet of snow out there. People are dying in car accidents. Why would you bring that up?
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at the snow falling right now. It's going to be nice.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Michael Sweet. Take care, man.
All right, you guys. Take care.
Bye-bye. Hey folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?